We just want you to absorb His presence. Awesome presence of the Lord. He's here to meet your every need. He goes before us. He guards our backside. He's given us all things, and hallelujah. He wants you to take hold of Him. Thank you, Jesus. I love the serenity of God to you. But I love His joyfulness. I love His jubilance. Because of your obedience to follow the Lord in service and in worship, He comes. Special anointings, special touches. He has what you need this morning. Hallelujah. And you're not a quadron. You're not something that is stored up and dammed up and then just let out in sequences of need. But you're fed by a deep well that's inside. He wants you to know that He's always pushing it up. Hallelujah. And so you need to embrace Him where you are. When you need joy, you need to take the joy. Because you're not going to run out. It's not just a passing thing. It's not just something that passes by you. It's not just something that's caught on, a trendy situation. It's eternal. It has a deep foundation. Take what you deserve. Jesus. Let's just take a deep breath. It's good for health. Just breathe deep. Take it down every part of your being. Those things that thought they were insignificant in your life. Bring oxygen to them. Bring life to them. Speak to the things that are not as though they were, with the authority of the King. Remember? He's given you the ring. He married you. You got His name. You're doing this in Jesus' name. Everybody wants to put Jesus as the third part of the body, or the third part of God. Trying to minimize that this flesh man has not inherited all things, but somehow is of a lesser order. Has misinterpreted, misunderstood that He did overcome. And He was clothed with all things. This man, this mortal man, Jesus, you see, He came to die that we might live. He's dealt with mortality. And He arrested that held it captive. Grave, hell, and death. And he sucked it up. He said, no longer will humanity be under this curse. All you have to do is believe. Believe enough to walk in it. And you'll see every day. Hallelujah. It's not a runoff. Or a pond. But it's an indwelling Christ that lives inside of you. It's not mortal or subject unto any death. It's becoming incorruptible and putting on immortality. Will you take the cloak? Will you believe His word? Will you live now, in every measure you can? Will you know that you have more than enough, and that when He releases you, it's His blessing, but you're not going to run out, you're not going to grow old? It's not a message that comes and goes. You're it, beloved. He's proud of you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to take more. You know, He told us, He said, don't lay up treasures in heaven, or rust, or decay, or inflation, or lies. Pull it out of you. Disappointments. Weaknesses. History. That you're a part of. He's come to change you. He's made us that we might be incorruptible, immortal, and eternal. And so draw from that, not from you. Draw from the well of salvation. Did you hear that? The well of salvation. Well, I thought I am saved. Yeah, you are. But don't you want to be saved more where you aren't saved? Don't you want to become, drink a little bit more of that water? So He can save you to the fullest, the max. Don't you want to walk in divine health, divine healing, divine thinking? Hallelujah. Then all you have to do is let it flow, fill you up, walk in that, let it flow over. And then there will be more properties that will begin to come up. Things you've struggled with, things that you haven't had the mind to, things that you haven't known anything about, things that you just couldn't seem to overcome. Draw from Him. In those areas. Areas that have kept you bound by fear. Truth to a matter of fact. But yet shouldn't be truth in you. Draw from them. Draw from His word. Begin to see that He that overcometh. Hallelujah. He got a seat for you. He's not second place. He's not third place. He's first place. And not your head. And not Al Valentini or anything to do with Valentini or Malutin or anybody else. It's the Savior. It's Jesus. And out of this will come all the provision that's necessary. Everything you need will be there at hand. Hallelujah. Be like Joel Osteen. I love him. See, you gotta realize that God's speaking in many ways to draw his people in, to get them readied, to take positions of sons. Not every son will do the same thing, but they will do what God would do. That's where we try to put everything into a nice, how can we contain God and what we know when he's expanding right now? How can we take a little bit of it? When he's expanding right now, don't you think he's going to keep expanding us? Don't you think there's going to be a greater expression of God in you? Hallelujah. So you got to draw from that well of salvation. Glory to God. I love you. Glory to God. And so I was thinking, I got to thank you again for the platform of the anointing. All I'm doing is just following his lead. But not alone. Not alone. Everyone has a part. You have a part. And I guess my heart is that you receive what's rightfully yours. Not what somebody else has received, but what you need right now. You need. Hallelujah. And then faith will have to work. You said we receive it by faith. That means we haven't got it yet. You know, when I deposit money into things, I like to see it grow. I'm not trying to stay alive. I like to see it grow. Why? Because that's what he does with us. He doesn't want just you haven't finished your work. We're just getting started on this thing. The whole earth is growing. That wisdom, righteousness, truth might be spoken with the authority of its words. In other words, if you say it, it'll get done. You say it, it's going to happen. Because you have the means in which to make it happen. And so when he says things to you, and you haven't got the means yet, believe it, he's going to give them to you. But if you don't look for them, if you don't expect them, if you don't do business that way, you won't get them. You get what you want. But he wants to bless you far beyond what you want to be blessed. Because he knows that there are people that will come by your path doesn't know how, and he still wants to bless him. Jesus. Love you. Okay. Very briefly. Brief. Church, you do have a voice. Everyone here. In the Hebrew explanation of the word for here, it is always intelligently understand and then do what you understand. Not what you don't understand, but do what you understand. And in the doing, definition comes in the doing. That goes beyond word definition, like Larry said. He's got more. He got more for you. In every way, he's got more. And this isn't just for now. It's not just for, it's going to bless you here, but it's not just for now. It's a heart condition he's working on. Taking your heart out, heart of flesh, putting his heart in, heart of God. And the needs are always greater than the means in which you have at the time. But if you'll obey and do what you can do, he will come and fill up the rest. Be satisfied. Be courageous. Be courage. Let's go to the PowerPoint, honey. I'm trying to finish up this eternal life. for you. And it's too much I just have to obey God in this. I have to obey God. I want to leave you with a real encouragement. And so, hallelujah. And I want you to know who you are, and that eternal life is not something that we look for, but it's something that we continually recognize as being a part of our inheritance now. Right now. I've been thinking, because I'm doing the kids Joseph thing, and we only have a few minutes, but there's such a parallel. There's so many things that come together. After Abraham, how many times do you hear about Adam? I'm the God of Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then how come we still, in the ability to understand and exegete languages, we still want to go back to Adam? Because there's still some of him left that we like. Even though he's been buried in Christ. Hallelujah. Are these off, huh? Glory to God. Oh, are you loving me? I'm just giving you the word, you know. Can't help it. Hallelujah. I love you so much. I will not cheat you. Or try to coerce you. To baby you. In the areas in which God's called you to excel in. I'm going to push you to the limit on that. Why? Because I don't want to be cheated. I want to see what God can do and speak through you to me and to others. What's wrong? Static, yeah, I know, a little static. My wife is, I don't think it's the batteries, but if it is, I'll change them. If it gets any worse, let me know and bring me up some batteries. Glory to God. You see, this is not about one person or a message per se that's been critiqued and every subject matter and here, too, I really got a kick. We were playing this little game yesterday. I wasn't playing. I was listening to it. But we have this one little geek guy that's not in the church yet, you know. But really, really intelligent. More than the average kid his age. In fact, more than the average person in some areas. And so he's trying to give you the answer by telling you that what do you say about in an English direction? It's followed, no, not by an ever. It's followed by what? What did he say? Do you remember, Carl? A prefix. That's what it was. He said it's followed by a prefix. Come on, it's followed by a prefix. You should have picked that up right away. What's wrong with you? How come you didn't pick that up? Because most of us don't even know what you're talking about. You see, that's not true with everyone. But do you see what I mean? God is so uniquely designed each individual. And for us to put it in a pattern where we don't want to listen because we don't have to, or will we listen and get the answer? And then will you listen and get the answer? Is this cool? Because he's given us all things. But I've been saying, Lord, I'm working on this all things. You see, I like this. Like I told you. We've been very diligent with what God has given us. And God keeps blessing us. Because we've been diligent. Because we're expecting something back. More than what we gave. You have to do this in Christ. You deserve it. You deserve to be walking in eternal life now. But you see, we've been told that that can't happen. But it's not the truth. Well, Danny, people are still dying. I said, yeah, Lord, look at me. If you look at me, am I getting older? Can you see my wrinkle? Can you see? Am I getting older? If I'm not getting older, my mirror must be lying to me or something. So we have this to look at. Honey, is this messing everything up, this static? Huh? Because it does bother my wife, and if it bothers her, it might bother somebody else. Hallelujah. That's better, isn't it? It's better. It is better, honey. Huh? Okay, well, then I got a little static. I can't help it, honey. Because, you see, I don't want this to distract from what God's saying and doing. Because he's using my head. And like I said, when I look in the mirror, I don't look younger. But yet, my body is being challenged to live again. Do you know what happens when you get afflicted? You believe your body. And you're tired. And you don't want to do it anymore. Because now, it becomes a determined effort. You have to actually now go through the elements of the pain and whatever it takes to give it new life. And if you don't, you will not have it. It's the same way spiritually. It's the same way with the Word of God. So, when you get older, you become wiser. You become more discreet about things. You have more to work with. And you'll see that he's given us eternal life. But he also says, to him that overcometh will I grant. And so we think that it's all about just sin. No. He's already given our spirits eternal life. That's how come we live. That's how come you're alive. Because the elements in which you live are toxic. We know that. But you're not. And you're alive. Because he's given you eternal life. But now this spirit is now going to take it to the other two parts. Intelligence now gives us the ability to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. And then our body is the vehicle that moves it in the earth and in the earth realm. And so sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes it becomes afflicted. So, but you know why? Because if I've ever been afflicted, I've been healed. I've never will walk the same in my mental, my understanding of things just because I can define something, because now I know more than that. Now I know that there's difficulty when you're afflicted. And so there needs to be an addition to you. There needs to be an added strength to you that goes beyond your element. Every time the earth got in trouble, so much so that God couldn't be found in His people, in His priest, in His church, He had pulled one out. To bring him into Him. And the provision always was for the whole earth to be saved. Always. Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. He's got me in a preaching mood. I mean, He's got my heart crazy. Let's go to John 11. Glory to God. I got there. Just let me say a few things on this eternal life. I just want to leave you with a couple of things that I hope will encourage you. I'm only here to see to it that you achieve what God has spoken to you to achieve. No more, no less. But my determined effort is that you succeed. How you succeed, how far you succeed, will depend on you. But I will open this door as wide as I can for you, because I know that we'll be missing something and you'll be missing something because you're a part of who we are. You are a part of who we are. Hallelujah. And we went to Acts 3 and 23, and we won't go through it again. We went there last week, where Jesus is beginning to show you who He is. Oh, I like that. That's where we were yesterday. That's all of us. We're not restricted from anything because of our size. In fact, just take advantage of this size, because it will grow. And you're the ones that'll see to it that it grows. Because you believe in it enough to tell other people, look it. We got it. Not all of it, but we got it. You can have it. Because it's not ours, it's God's to give. All of your friends in that, I'd love to see all the people that we know in this house, loving one another. What they do right now outside this house. Hallelujah. That was 25, honey. Did I say 23? I'm sorry. I just want to show you this. This statement has set my mind into a realm of thinking. 11:25. And then we're going to be doing some scripture, so you're going to have to be listening to me. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I can't get off that. Because of the statement, it's just a simple statement, so to speak, and it's not really hard to understand as far as words are concerned, but yet the impact of it, the intention of it, the address of it at the time in which it was addressed, how it was addressed, where it was addressed is amazing. One of his friends who he loved dearly that he had to let die. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't you think he didn't struggle with that? Don't you think that sometimes when things happen that there isn't a greater that you can't see yet, and this may be the only way that you can get this point across in its essence to who you're speaking to? He didn't love Martha any less than he loved Mary. And it wasn't a word of chastisement that he gave her, that we preach. You know, we always want to tell somebody what they need to do instead of, Lord, what are you trying to say? And then how can I help in the understanding of it as you give it to me? How can I help to be a part of that answer? Because you see, nobody really sees what my wife does. They think that, you know, if she's not up there on the podium preaching, let me tell you something. She goes before you in everything we do. And it isn't just a little thing. And it isn't happenstance or just a jerk. And it isn't the least, it's the best. And I thank God for that. And it's the same with you. As you minister in song, and as you minister with your music, and as you minister out of your heart, please bring it to the people. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just had a feeling. Sometimes it wasn't the Lord. But you know what? You have a right of expression before God. And it's not for somebody else to tell you if it is or if it isn't. It's when we bring it before the people. And then we say, well, I'm sorry, man, I missed that dude. I must have got caught up into something, but it just wasn't what I thought. Do you know that once you've been spiritually aligned, that you're going to have to try the spirits because there's a lot of spiritual things that aren't of God that will connect to you, are familiar with you? Well, they don't speak in the same tongue. Yeah, I know. I haven't heard anybody hardly speak in the same tongue when they're speaking in tongues. But I have heard languages. I have heard dialects. Pretty much can tell what camp they're out of. Do you know that? Is that odd? Is that bad? Absolutely not. You go down south, they got a particular way that they address people. You go out to Canada, you got another particular way they address people. You go all over the world and you got different people that have different dialects. They have different ways of expression. They have different ways of pronunciation. Right? And so then, isn't that cool? What makes us think that that a tongue that God gives us is it's a pure and a holy tongue, and that we don't have familiar tongues, because we do. Does it make it not God's tongue? Does it make it a learned behavior? Yes and no. Everything you know, you learned. Glory to God, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Oh, hallelujah. I'm loving the Lord with all of my heart. And I'm excited because I really believe that as we take hold of eternal life, and as you really lay hold of it, in knowing that what is eternal and what isn't eternal, I think that's where I'm going to be going. That this is a good thing. So let's go to Romans 8:2, and let's go from there and just see what happens. And we can quote that. We already did that, so I'll do it real quick. We did it last. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I think what we need to really look at is that the Bible is really speaking of only two laws that pertain to life or death. And the one law that pertains to life is what? Yeah, it was also the old letter of the law. The letter of the law killeth. But it just kills the dead man. It brings life. In Romans 7, you see, it says that the law is what? Spiritual. Right? And so once we get these laws straightened out, that we actually, God expects us to live by what? By laws. And so now, we just have to really come to the place where, what law are we living under? Democrat or Republican? Libertarian or whatever? Come on! Don't tell me you're not, because you are. Right now you're living under a democratic law. Socialism. You know, I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican, really. I'm a Christian. I have a new country. But I live in this one. So I kind of like it, so I'm going to try and do my best to vote right. You do the same. I'm not telling you how to vote. But now, let's go to Colossians 3. Let's take a look at this. Colossians 3, 3 and 4, please. Colossians. Ah, look at this. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. I guess so that always leaves a question. What's he talking about? When he appears. Now, we have some that believe, not until his initial second coming, so we call it, and I'll just do that because it's a familiar phrase, and people kind of understand that that's when he physically stands on the earth. How many of you know that when he physically stands on the earth, that he won't be seen alone? Did you know that? He said he comes with 10,000s of his saints. Well, guess who's going to be there with them? We are. We are the sons of God. So if we're with them, how are you going to know who he is? Just something to think about. Glory to God. So, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Well, you know what? He has appeared, he is appearing, and you know what? I will look at that real quick. If you'll just let me look at that real quick. The word for appear is the word phanero. To render apparent. To appear. Manifestly. Declare. Make manifest. Now, very, very, in a very, very basic part of salvation. When you received his forgiveness, did he appear?
How? Huh? Huh?
By our faith.
By our faith. How much faith do we have then? Enough.
That's
right. Got to get this. Enough. And then, for me, anyway, I can tell you that I never felt better in all my life. Because I knew I was forgiven from all the junk I was trying to make better somehow. Just couldn't do it. I'm just being honest. Because I've always loved God with all of my heart, but I didn't know how to be forgiven. Until He said, "Son, you come, kneel at the altar, ask me to come into your heart and forgive you of all of your sins." You know, people sometimes just come and they don't do that. And none of us do it totally, but we do it by faith now. And then He comes. I'm going to ask you another question. Has your life changed since then? Do you live in a new dimension of living, even though you're in the earth? Do you do the same things you did before? Why not? Do you feel cheated? You know, Nancy, I'm afraid that some Christians that were raised in Christian homes do. I'm not a fool. Don't. Just let it go. What the world's got to offer you is hell on wheels. And they'll give as much as you want. And they could care less whether you live or die. Now this is being recorded. But when He appears, see, I did some of those things, kids, I know. But I've been working, I work with kids ever since I've been 19 or 20 years old. And I do my best to love you enough to tell you this God life that you live and serve and are disciplined to live will reap for you benefits where your mamas and daddies don't get divorced. Where they don't run around and go out and get in all kinds of crazy stuff in the world. You don't have to have that. You don't need that. You'll forgive you for it. But you don't need it. And you can have what I'm talking about. He's appearing now in you, and you don't have to understand a lot. You just have to believe it enough to receive it. And if you'll believe it enough to receive it, you can have it. You see why I said that is because I've been around a lot of preacher's kids and ripped my heart out. They know all the right language. If you ever worked on the street, I've worked right down in the street. right in the street. We had the worst of the worst. Come up. Been in some other countries. Make your hair stand on the back of your neck. They quickly know the language to get what they want. They can quickly say, "I love Jesus," to get something.
come on.
Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I love you. I just want you to know that He has appeared already, and that His appearing, that His gift of eternal life was when He died on the cross. When He died on the cross, He gave us healing. He gave us all of these things that have been given to us, but they've been held back from us because of the degenerate thinking of an unredeemed man. You've been redeemed. And yes, we have faults. And yes, it's difficult sometimes for us just to get over this one element of challenge or that He's put us in. But I'm telling you, the more you overcome, the better you get at it. And the greater the reapings you get. You see, because instead of an inflation, you know, the inflation's 4%. You know that right now? It's 4%. So everybody here in their wages should get 4% just to keep up with what you got. Right? So the bank should be paying you at least 4%, shouldn't they? See, just simple mathematics. But they're paying less than 1%. So who's stealing from you? But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. See, God doesn't do these things, but we're in a world. Just the opposite. You're living in a world that shows you everything at the opposite of what you really are. So you have to live differently, and you are living differently, and I'm telling you, you've got the anointing. Please, don't keep it in your vessel only. There's such a powerful anointing in Carl's address to music. That it needs to be contagious. It's not the words. It's charisma. That's what the world calls it. I remember I had a student going to college. Way up north in engineering college. He came to me and he said, "Danny, I'm confused. I see an anointing on a politician." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I'm going to tell you something. You are right. Because God put gifts on people. And they're no less God's anointing. It's what we do with them. And how we present them. Listen, no matter how small or how big or whatever, however you influence people, what I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just encouraging you to do what you can do. And then follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. So that this God inside of you goes out. Hallelujah. I got to catch a couple more. There's some things I want to do here. Go to 1 John 1, 1 and 2. And I got 5 minutes, but I'll try. Jesus, help me. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto you. This eternal life, this intention for man from the very beginning of his creation, was already in position, was already there. But I believe in man. I believe in God's man. I don't care how big it is. I believe in God's man. Don't you? And at an appointed time, Mary produces God in man. Out of an obedient heart, and she obeyed a word of truth. And you can't tell me she didn't know what was happening. Jeez. And so, look at this. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. For God so loved the world, I'll tell you what. We need some presentations sometimes. Just some simple presentations to tell people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, in who? Who's Him? Believeth in Him shall what? But what? Hallelujah. And so, and we believe that. And I believe it whether I live or die. And I know that you do too. But what I'm learning is that it is for me now. It's for me later too. But I have a responsibility to take it and come and take another part. Hey, when I married my wife, I was her husband. It was my responsibility to be her husband. That's what I was, husband. But when she became pregnant, I changed another role. My responsibility elevated. And now instead of just feeding and taking care of her, I'm going to have to feed and take care of another one. And I'm not expecting her to do more, to take and meet all the needs, and me just keep going like being a husband. See, because I know these things, I can help you. I can help you see that they were always unsurmountable odds. Jobs were never guaranteed. Fact is, I didn't even have a college education, just high school, and I was getting ready to go into becoming an engineer, and that stopped. Another thing popped out, and the next thing you know, I can't go to college. Mama can't do a little work now. We kind of be husband and wife and do a little work, husband and wife, and I go to college now because she's out. See? Signed up and everything, didn't I, honey? Could have had it paid for. A lot of it. But you know what? God had different plans. He got different plans for us sometimes than even what our aptitudes and stuff are. He got different plans for us. Glory to God. Can you hear me? I want you to be happy. I want you to know that I just want to encourage you to do what you can do here now, wherever you are, and to live this life everlasting. And so what happens is we have a Father. We gotta keep going on. And so, One of the names, and we'll get it sooner, but there's an Egyptian name they gave Joseph. And what it meant was to be a father in the Egyptian language. They needed a provider. They needed a daddy. God provided them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I want to encourage you. Don't worry about where you are. Just keep obeying Him. Don't let the words of God that He's put within you be sucked out of you because of circumstances, misunderstanding, because nobody else can hear it. Just believe it and watch and see what God will do. Because, oh my God, oh Lord Jesus. Are you praying for me? Because I am a preacher, but I'm a teacher. Hallelujah. You have no idea the material that's inside of me just for this service. Hallelujah. Well, I am, but I have to obey God. Because, see, you're in the mix of it. It's not just knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge. Hallelujah. He wants you to know that you already have eternal life through Him. And so the press is, how do we get it here? In that's subject unto death. How do I move it from here? Because He's an indwelling God. He lives within our heart. The Father lives here. The Son lives here. And eternal life lives here. The Holy Ghost. The eternal one. The one that gives life. The very breath of the very essence of God as a whole. And yet in the midst of it, it takes on three different dimensions of authority. Not persons. You're not three people. You're one. If you're depleted of any part of what of your three-part persons, I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know that you have the opportunity to bring eternal life into all three parts. Stretching you, huh? Well, there's much thought in Scripture on that. Glory to God. Let's go to one more, and I'm going to break it open for next week. Help. Revelation 21. I know you're going to have to do some study. I'm leaving a lot of ground in between us here. I want to show you now. For the life was manifested. Okay, honey, you got Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Let's look at it a little bit, too. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and He shall be their God. How does that happen? How is it happening right now? He's my God. He's God, not only of what I know, not only of the city in which I live, but He's a God that goes beyond my most impossible circumstances that are confronting me, that are hurting me, that I don't understand, that are stretching me out of my wit's end. Emotional end. Physical end. Are we getting this? And so now I'm going to His Word, His testimony, that which He's given, water of life. I'm just giving, you got to hear this Word, because I'm saying a lot. Hallelujah, because the Word is what? It's water. It's the river. Crystal clear. The book of Revelation. Hallelujah. It has no limit. Every place it goes, it gives life. Jesus, help me, Lord. Give me one more. Hallelujah. I'm going to just wrap it over. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have all passed away. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of things in our life, at least in my life, that have passed away. Totally. Where once they were alive in me, and once they were a real concern, and once they were a part of who I was and of my character and everything else, it passed away. Are we getting this? You can have eternal life right now. And who is to say that if you'll continue to believe it, that you won't just put on that incorruption? You know what that means? You now live under that authority. You no longer will live under the corrupt authority that corrupts you. Lawlessness. Only one law. Law of life in Christ Jesus. And once that's on, it's the road, it's the foundation that's necessary for the highway of eternal life. Immortality. Where this mortal that's subject unto death now has put on eternal life. Believe me, He will never take away what you already know. But there's more. And He wants to give it to us. Constantly. And as there's more, will you take it? Jesus, help me. Ooh. Okay, one more verse. I'm hurrying. Hallelujah. Oh, I will read that one. Then we got one more. I got to go to 22. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write these things. Write these words. Write these words are true. Write, for these words are true." Got to get that. "Write, for these words are true." And fruitful. See, you don't understand that, but I think Carl does. Sometimes you get to going so fast, you forget that you didn't say that one thing. Hallelujah. And you can't figure it out because you're looking at it and it's already gone. But praise God. Now let's go to 22. Hallelujah. Or no, honey. Is that 20? Which one are we at? 21? Okay. 22:17. And I'm going to wrap it up. Hallelujah. And I'm just opening up a whole new gamut of thought and a whole new gamut, I pray, of faith for you. And the Spirit and the bride said, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. And what? Take of the water of life freely. What I've been taught and cautioned after, is drinking too much water. Being so hungry for the Word of God that I can't get enough. Of understanding quickly because I'm constantly studying. Come on, beloved. Take of this water freely. Don't be restricted because there's more than enough. It's never gonna, this water's never gonna run out. Let me tell you something. You think gas costs money? Give it 25, give it 50 years. And water will cost more than gas ever thought of costing. Being consumed more and more and more and more and more and more and more. As though there's no end to it. And there isn't. Glory to God. There isn't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.